You will now listen to a talk between Advat Sakai and Christoph Meyer-Hans, two members of the Common Wallet. The Common Wallet is an initiative of currently 8 Brussels-based people who, since January 2018, live out of a common bank account.
Christoph, what is the Common Wallet?
So concretely, the Common Wallet is a bank account. It's a bank account at a pretty normal bank here in Belgium. And what is special about it is that there is 11 people who have a bank card, who hold a bank card and who hold rights to this bank account. And besides that, what it is, it's basically an agreement between 10 people who have just decided to start with, carry out an experiment by just putting together all the money they earn and also mutualizing all the expenses that they do for their daily lives. So it is this simple agreement where we just commit to putting all the money we earn on the common wallet, on this common bank account, and just trusting each other that everybody would do the same. So instead of doing counting everything which people earn and contribute to the common wallet or spend from it, we replace this accounting with what we call radical trust. So just the sense that we trust each other to, first of all, put all of our money in it, and also to in each of our expenses, not to profit or take profit from the common wallet from the others, to make expenses which are meaningful, which are necessary, and to also commit to trusting the others that they will do the same. And voila, that's what it is in a nutshell. We've been doing this for more than 4 years now, with ups and downs, of course. But it's still holding. It has, I think, from being an experiment, become a kind of way of life, or at least it's really become part of our daily life, our daily way of dealing with our economies.
So to answer the question, what is the common wallet, is maybe interesting to talk about what it's not. So for sure, it's not some kind of an economical model that can increase or maximize our profit or net income. What it is more a way of changing our relationship with money from a very individual relationship to a collective one. And through this also maybe putting in question the way we used to relate not only to money but to one another before, because there is a tendency to take for granted that anything that is to do with money, that often comes with the need to be to keep secrets, it connects to shame often. Yeah, it connects to questions that are related to trust. So all of this to try and open up actually among ourselves and to put it on the table, look at it together and ask ourselves if that's actually really necessary, if it's something that should always be embodied in a relationship with money, or maybe if we treat it differently by collectivizing it. Those kind of feelings also of loneliness and maybe existential anxieties that come together with our relationship with money, maybe they can be reduced or maybe eliminated completely. So it's a kind of experiment in that. It's a quite a psychological one, because we really look into our backgrounds, the way we live, the way we used to think about our past, about our future, about the people around us, and Yeah, and try to share it and question it together through through money or through collectivizing money.
So how does the common wallet function? Well, when we started the common wallet as initially as an experiment, what we intended to do was to investigate and discover what was our relationship or individual relationships to money, and also we wanted to question these. So instead of putting up in beforehand whole sets of rules to protect ourselves from things that we feared could happen or we thought could happen negatively, we decided to, so to say, go into it naked, that is, not putting up any rules at all, in order to just feel what would happen to us individually, and, you know, as things go on, discover if we actually needed rules in the common wallet. And so as time went by, much rather than finding out rules that we needed to feel comfortable with the others, what we discovered is more that we needed to develop a whole practice. Since, as we said before, the whole common wallet is based on this idea of radical trust, simply trusting others rather than, counting and finding a sense of mathematical justice. What we needed to do is develop a praxis that would allow and cultivate this radical trust. And what we found out worked for us was, first of all, to meet on a very regular basis and exchange a lot, not only about our relationship to money, this too, but also just simply what is going on in our lives. To have this level of trust to make this common wallet function requires to kind of know where people are at, to know what they're going through, to know how they feel. And that allows then for this openness and for being relaxed. And actually, sometimes we didn't manage to have these meetings. So what we're doing is we're usually try to have a weekly meeting, which is a breakfast, where we just meet and exchange. And also every 3 months, a whole day where we try to go more in depth and maybe work out certain things. But what we discover is that, for instance, the first year during the summer, we didn't have our weekly breakfast for a month and a half or something like this. And we could feel that immediately things didn't go really wrong, but you could feel that there were tensions rising around certain questions. And so that is really this proximity, which we discovered is very important. Another thing that developed over time is the need for someone, a role whom we call the secretary. And that is a role that changes every month, and maybe more than being a real secretary, it's more some kind of an alarm ringer. So since none of us is really rich, we are always with a very low economy, and so someone who just rings a bell if one sees that the account is running low, or if there is issues that might show up that we could foresee, so that people can actually react. And that's basically it, what we have set up as formal ways of organizing ourselves.
Yeah, so there are indeed no rules, but from the beginning we somehow formulated what kind of commitment one is expected to have when entering the common wallet. And one of the things that we all commit to is transparency, but not the transparency that where one is expected to give a report of what they spend their money on. So not transparency towards the way we use the money, but transparency towards how being in such a project or in such a constellation makes us feel. As long as this remains something that we keep somehow observing and researching together through people really sharing somehow their intimacies in regards to what the project does to them, then the project can continue. This is one of the reasons why indeed those weekly meetings were very important. Another commitment is the commitment to not judge anyone based on what they decide to spend their money on, so to not judge people's decisions for a certain lifestyle, but at the same time to also not refrain from maybe not criticizing, but expressing doubts or questions that one might have towards someone else about the way money is spent. So it's a very thin line between, on one hand, not judging, and on the other hand, being completely open with each other and honest. And there we keep failing a lot, but that's never a reason to stop, but just a reason to acknowledge it and go on and try not to fail the next time. And maybe the other commitment that is worthwhile to mention is, so we mentioned already the radical trust, but the radical trust is not only towards the fact that we trust that no one will just take the money and run, but also that we trust that each of us is engaging with their full passion and responsibility towards the common wallet. So this is a bit related to the commitment to also for non-judgment. So the radical trust is in the fact that no matter what, how people are in the common wallet, we trust each other that this is the full commitment that that each of us chooses to somehow exercise towards the common wallet, and that each of us is there with their full responsibility, even though we might be very different with the way we do it.
So what was your motivation to initiate something like Common Wallet?
Okay, so actually the Common Wallet started with 10 people, then we became 11, and now we are 8. And I think the motivation for each person was very, very different. So I can talk about mine. I think, we somehow, all the people who are in the common wallet, not all of us have the same kind of proximity of relations, but we belong maybe to some kind of a community where people practice a lot of solidarity towards each other, even if they are not like best friends. And I always wondered how come this solidarity stops when it comes to money, so that we share and that we give and that we do things together. But when it comes to money, we don't even consider that this is an option. And I think I had my main struggle with this fact was related to the fact that I was deprived of legal status in Belgium for many years because I'm non-European, and because of this, I didn't have any access to the welfare system. So I lived in a quite extreme financial precarity, especially in comparison to those around me, to my friends. So yeah, the fact that the same friends who always supported me so much and helped me with everything didn't do the same thing with the money that they could have because of their privilege, and I couldn't, was really puzzling for me. So for me, one of the main achievements of the Common Wallet is that actually we are sharing, we are collectivizing somehow the accessibility to the systems that somehow, that sometimes not really allow everybody to be included in them. Of course, it's not the solution because we are sharing, everybody should have an access to it, and now just a few have and we share it, so we remain in precarity. But at least on the level of solidarity, it allows this practice.
For me, I think the initial motivation was I was very attracted by the experimental side of the project, of the Common Wallet. So I was really for me, it was really about challenging oneself, trying to push the limits, trying really to put into question a lot of different attitudes that we have in regards to money, generally speaking. And so I was very much in it as a, you could say, as a kind of project that was about pushing the bar always further, maybe until it breaks. So it's not really the idea for me from the outset to create something that would last forever or that would become really some kind of way of life, but more something that would keep challenging. And well, it has been that, of course, and there's a lot of aspects of it which are exactly that. But over time, it has changed and turned into something which is much less of a burning desire for experimenting, but maybe also for creating stability. What changed personally for you after you joined the Common Wallet?
I think somehow a layer of humor that didn't exist before in my relationship with money was added. So that when the Common Wallet is in a challenging situation, we actually apply a lot of humor on how to deal with it, and so certain lightness that maybe I lost came back through the Common Wallet, and maybe so like this kind of existential loneliness that brought a lot of anxiety is not there anymore.
For me, I basically stopped buying expensive whiskies, which I didn't do so often, but when I had enough income, I would often indulge into some, not so crazy, but buying some expensive stuff. But I would give myself a treat with this. And now I realized, actually, in retrospect, that I don't do this anymore. It's not something I feel like it's a privation, or it's just I stopped doing it. So I guess it's because there's other ways of finding or satisfying this need for a treat, or this need of being reassured, or feeling loved.
Okay, so now we're going to bring two questions together. One is there a way back for you? And the other one is, if not, what would be the next step and how to continue?
Well, the way back, not really. If it is about going back to the situation before the Common Wallet, I don't think I would like to. It would feel pretty much like a regression. So even though, you know, if the Common Wallet would stop now for whatever reason, I'm sure I would look for something else that goes in the same direction, or that allows for this new kind of economy which we have been developing. But that said, it doesn't mean that the future of it is crystal clear. I don't think we have a clear plan how this would develop over the next years. How is it to you know, become to evolve and grow, or not grow, or it feels a bit strange to say we'll just stay like this forever. I think there's many challenges ahead, many questions that we haven't found answers to. Very, very important one of these questions is the relationship to patrimony, so to, you know, money or wealth that is not linked to our monthly incomes that we share in the Common Wallet. Some of us have richer families than others. Some of us have received our inheritances, our will later can count on that, some not at all. And so all this, let's say, longer term economy is something which is not shared at present, or not directly in the Common Wallet. We do not have, you know, all our savings, or we didn't donate all our inheritances to the Common Wallet, even though if indirectly everybody profits from it in a way or another. But these questions are going to become more and more important as we grow older, as our children grow older, How will our children relate to the common wallet? How is there are they included in it or they're not? How do they get something from it for their studies? What happens to when one of us dies? What happens when our parents dies and there is inheritance? All of these questions are still very open and are challenges that in a way are the ones that would challenge us further and bring the project further, but we don't have easy answers to it. We've been tackling them, but so far it still remains a big question to resolve.
For me, there is no way back because I'm so much happier with the common wallet and being a part of it for reasons that I already mentioned before. And I think the next step for me would be, I think we've been experiencing different form of kind of radical collectivities in the past throughout the history, and I also grew up in one of them. I was brought up in a kibbutz. And these forms of collectivity, for one reason or another, at a certain point didn't work anymore. And I see in the common wallet potential to somehow rethink collectivizing of resources, maybe in a different way that would fit more the spirit of the time. So for me, this would be a way to take it further, to somehow keep reflecting on that, how to use it in order to think maybe beyond just this specific group of the common wallet, but how about creating other groups that function like this, to create networks that maybe will give more presence to this kind of collectivities, which will also force then political structures to somehow acknowledge them. So yes, I mean, these are very big steps into a possible future, but this is how I would see where it could develop to. How would a money sharing model work if it is not motivated by shortage of money, but by money overflow and by abundance?
Well, maybe one should first look at money. I mean, what we're calling money nowadays, the kind of money our relationship to money is based on, is a system which is systematically, or on a systemic level, based on scarcity. And so that's probably also the reason why we started such a project, the reason why we had to kind of, we felt the need to kind of take measures against the consequences of this scarcity, the pressure that it puts on people, the anxieties that it gives us. So if one would think of a world of abundance, it would be probably a world in which the money we have is a different kind, does not function with debt, doesn't create the same kind of relationships between people. So it would be a different kind of money based more on equality, maybe based more on some form of maybe you could say solidarity, and so less on competition. So probably it's a world in which common wallets would not need per se to be created in order to compensate for the problems created by the money we use. So I guess the world would be a common wallet, looked at it from a very ideal standpoint.
Yes, I agree. but maybe to add to it, I feel that the specific common wallet that I am a part of is common wallet that that actually is somehow embedded in abundance. So the fact that we are precarious as artists is highly related to the fact that we actually have the privilege to choose to be artists. Yeah, I don't feel that that our specific common wallet was ever the result of people experiencing shortage. For me, it had a completely different reason why it's there. So yeah, I don't even feel that I can dare to somehow imagine how it would or not function in much more precarious situations of people who maybe don't live in the kind of wealthy Western societies. Or so yeah, for me, we are already in a system of abundance. Yeah, it would be my take on the question.